right, we seem to be live once again. I believe that is the case. That's what my computer's telling me there, over with my streaming software, if you will. We're just going to allow Facecrack to send off some notifications out there, a few notifications. They've got us suppressed, if you will, but we'll keep going at her until it all the cookie crumbles, if that's the case there. But yeah, we're streaming live through the Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. That might not be the case in the soon coming future once Facebook will collapse. So we're trying to venture out into various other platforms. Platforms that allow free speech, you know, grassroots conservative platforms that are growing here, there, and everywhere, trying to establish a connection. So there will be an exodus, certainly. As the months move forward, Facebook is just going to get worse and worse and worse to the point where they will literally revoke, unpublish, jail, whatever, anyone, everyone who in the slightest has a different worldview than your far-reaching leftist. That's just the facts. It is what it is. It's reality. So we're currently looking at other options in the media field. And the Added Team, and what I plan to do moving forward, of course, is to establish our own server, our own piece of land, put the flag, say, hey, this belongs to us. We do things according to this way, and we will not be stopped. Our free speech will remain. So we're trying to go that direction, and hopefully that will happen in the next few years. We will have our own server. Of course, that will create also an opportunity for others who might want to tap into a server that will not ban them for ridiculous subjective laws from the left as hate speech, quote-unquote, or breaking community standards and all kinds of communistic lingo manufactured to keep us safe, quote-unquote. So, yeah, we'll be looking into that. But for now, we are certainly streaming through the Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. And we'll keep going at her until it all migrates somewhere else or collapse or whatever the case. This is Podvlog episode 84, titled No God, No Love. N-O God, N-O Love. My name is Stefan Maier. The website you want to check out is addedsouls.com. And stick around. Pay attention. Study with us or reason with us. Let's talk about stuff, right? From the Bible. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We want to look at verse 3. Hey there, Kenny. I see you on the comment thread there. Good to have you with us, my friend. Always a pleasure. We are greatly honored to have everyone watching, paying attention, and participating. Don't be fooled by the numbers. I guarantee you, it's all a manipulation from face crooks. They do this and they do that, and it's designed to discourage you from watching. But numerous times I've caught them in their snare, their deception, you know. We'll have like 70-some viewership, and all of a sudden they'll click it to number to 4 viewers. We've seen it. We've caught them. We've got the screenshots. They think we don't know their plot, but we certainly do. They'll do things like that, you know. We've seen that throughout the months and years. So we want to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. No God, no love. N-O God, N-O love. Paul here speaking to the Corinthians, right? Now, everything taking place here, we have to rightly handle the scripture. We have to understand the proper interpretative science, okay, so that we can receive the author's intention for our hearts, our minds, our lives. To do that, of course, it takes the right kind of soil. Are you the kind of soil that can grow roots, grow firm and produce fruit? You know, are we willing to be humble and submissive to our Lord and Master? Are we seeking Matthew 6:33? We have to be the right kind of soil in which would respect the authority of inspired literature. The Bible is the sole source for all religious information. There are many religious people out there, but their religion is not based off the Bible. It's just based off their own thoughts and whims and things of that nature. Good afternoon, Mel. Good to see you with us on the comment thread. Always a pleasure to have you. So yeah, we have to have, you know, the right kind of heart while we look at the scriptures and respect the scriptures, rightly handle the scriptures. Paul, an apostle, is speaking to Christians during an age of the miraculous, the supernatural. We have been lied to so badly in this current generation and culture by these, these charlatans, you know, these foolish characters on TV or behind pulpits, behind who have influence, you know, who are called religious leaders, who don't know the Bible at all. I mean, they have all the wonderful plaques and they have all the wonderful expensive suits or robes or whatever they have, and they present themselves as individuals who are teachers or who know this and that, but they have no clue what they affirm. A little old no one like myself, from a little old place nobody knows on the map, who's never done anything very good in his life prior to Jesus, I could sit down with the biggest, strongest, most extravagant minds of the denominational world and never bat an eye, not blink. My heartbeat will never pass. My hands will never shake, okay? They just don't know how to rightly handle the scriptures. That don't make me, you know, anything to boast about. It's all through God's grace, but I can tell an honest individual from an individual that's not honest. The scriptures was written here, you know, during an age of miraculous occurrence and event and action. The miraculous, of course, was for a designated purpose. It was to confirm the word, meaning the individual who had the ability to perform miraculous things, which was, of course, you know, the Christ, and the Christ through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and the apostles to those they would lay hands on. These would become recipients of miraculous power and gifts. They had the gift of the Holy Spirit. They could do things, prophesy, speak in tongues, and whatnot. But that was designed for a specific people during a specific time in our history. That age, of course, has come and gone. And it goes back to these TV charlatans, or, you know, these individuals who claim to know something or not. They'll talk fantastical, mythical, fictional stories to tickle your ears regarding miracles and the Holy Spirit and this and that and the other, and they have no clue what they're saying. They think they do, but they have absolutely no idea. And they'll manipulate many minds, sadly, to an eternal punishment because of all the falsehood they peddle. Paul, the apostle, was speaking to Christians in Corinth. He was speaking to the church that belonged to Jesus in Corinth. They lived in the age of the miraculous. A miracle is something supernatural. It is something that cannot be denied. You may reject it, but it cannot be denied. It's not some kind of fantasy story about, oh, I was dead on the table for several minutes and I came back to life. It's a miracle. No. Oh, there's a video on YouTube there in the far corners of Africa and the Amazon of this or that where somebody was raised from the dead. Yeah, right. How gullible, naive, uneducated can you be, right? Well, we used to be that way. I used to be that way. Very gullible, filled with my emotions. I used to believe in all kinds of stuff like that. But thank God that he allowed us to have his words to honestly look at, read, study, and apply in our lives. Paul is speaking to Christians during an age of the miraculous, but he's speaking that this age would soon cease, of course, when the perfect law of liberty would be fulfilled and completed, the 66 books of the Holy Bible, the penmanship of the Holy Spirit. So within that context, okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, oh, hey there, Brandon, good to see you on the comment thread. Billy, always a pleasure to have you all with us on the comment thread. Paul here speaking to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. We want to look at verse 3 and see the principle therein, okay? See the principle and apply it in our lives today. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's reason with that, you and I. He's speaking of the greater importance. Even if you are a good moral individual doing good moral things, it has absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It's completely vain if it has no love, right? That's the whole thing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor. I speak to many individuals in the community here who are snared within denominational ideology, trapped within churches Jesus never built. And it has been my experience that their focus and their primary interaction with me is, well, our church does much for the needy. You know, we give to the poor and we allow the poor this and the poor that. And we give back to the community and we help the community. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, to help needy individuals in the community, right? So it's not like if he's speaking something that is of an awful nature or something that would be of a sinful nature to help the poor and the needy. The small little congregation in which we assemble with, we don't have much, but what we do have, we are benevolent, you know, first to the house of our Lord, and then to perhaps individuals outside. But these individuals who are snared within denominational ideology and worldview, they utilize this as if it is the epicenter of salvation to give to the poor. They don't speak of the plan of salvation recorded in the scriptures. They don't plan about the method of worship. They don't speak about the qualifications of fellowship and how that functions. And all these things that are the pillars of our Lord's doctrine to which we must adhere and administer in our lives. No, it's all about, well, the more we can give to the poor, you know, they have this outward pious, this outward religious appearance that must be upheld. This, oh, look at how humble we are. Look, we've given everything we own to the poor and the needy. We allow them to have our house, to have our yard, to have our food, to have our clothes. We've given them everything. You know, this is what we do, and this is what Jesus wants us to do, and it's just so, you know, awe-inspiring, if you will. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, even if I sacrifice my body for the cause in some way, right? Give my life to the cause. Give it all. Many have purposely sought out to be martyred for the cause of Christ, right? But was it truly for the cause of Christ? If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned. So if you're willing to sacrifice everything, but you don't have love, it's a complete useless thing. And one says, well, of course I have love. I feel it in my heart. It makes me feel good when I give to the poor. It makes me feel good when I put myself purposely out there to be martyred for the cause of the gospel. Well, which gospel? Paul speaks of a gospel in Galatians chapter 1. He speaks of something being a curse. So what gospel? Well, the key to the verse and where we're getting at here is when it says, but do not have love. There's a verse in the Bible that says God is love. So one says, what is love? Well, there are many descriptive branches to love, right? The sacrificial kind, agape, the emotional, brotherly kind. There are many actions and attributes to love that certainly fall within the facet of this beautiful tree. But if one is to have the pinnacle source and affiliation to love, one must have God. There's just no way around that. God is love. And so if you are an individual, a religious individual snared within denominational ideology, you've been giving everything you have. You're even giving your life away. Perhaps you've lost everything already in your life. Perhaps you've lost your wife or your husband. Perhaps everyone separated themselves from you and you've been persecuted, this, that, and the other. Perhaps everything you've had, you've given to the poor, and now you're just giving your life to be a martyr for the cause. It's all in vain. It's a noisy gong. It profits nothing. It has not accomplished any growth in God's kingdom because you're not in God's kingdom. That's for the individual who is found outside the body of Jesus Christ. So outside of Jesus Christ, excuse me, seems to have something caught in my throat there. So if you're outside of Jesus Christ, it don't matter what you do for the poor. It don't matter how you present yourself as one ready to die for the gospel and put yourself out there as a sacrificial display. It don't matter. It profits nothing. It's useless. God don't see it. It's vain. It's worthless. It's worthless in the ultimate scheme of the eternal realm. You're outside the body of Christ. You're not even in there. You haven't even obeyed the gospel yet. Yeah, I have. I've received Jesus in my heart, and I felt the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, that's complete hogwash, trash. That's not Bible whatsoever. That's what your pastor told you, or your reverend, or some kind of TV wacko evangelist. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. So you're outside the body of Christ. So it don't matter if you give all your possessions to feed the poor, or if you surrender your own life to be burned. You don't have God. And that's sad to me. I don't wish to speak callous, but it's sad to me that an individual born and raised and dies outside of Christ, thinking himself in Christ or with Christ or one whom Jesus is going to warmly welcome once he reaches the other side. That's the devil's influence, and it's so, so deceptive. That's why we do what we do. We're trying to wake people up and shake them up a bit, you know, shake the cage and say, hey, man, you need to leave that place. You're outside of Christ. You need to learn the right way in Christ. So now we spoke a bit about the perspective of one outside of Christ to the principle of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. But to the precision of the text, he's speaking to Christians. And so these Christians who may have turned to what they were seeing in the community or how they may have felt trust in certain individuals of the community or how things were being done and seen, may think as Christians, well, you know, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor and I surrender my body to be burned, then it's all good and dandy and that's what I'm supposed to do. But what worth is that if you don't have God in your heart, in your mind, in your life? Many in history have been recorded to give their lives as a sacrifice to the cause, but they died outside of Christ. Some died as Christians, meaning they had been born again and added to the church, citizens of his kingdom. But they had grown dull with the purpose in which the Spirit, the New Testament covenant, is to live in one's heart. If you have love, if you have God, and you are doing things according to His will, then you can give your possessions to feed the poor, and you can surrender your life for the greater cause of the gospel. It's not in vain. It will be utilized for the good news of Christ. But you see, they had since, or they were entertaining the idea that perhaps doing what they wanted to do along those lines to seem a certain way would be sufficient. Well, it brings me back to Matthew chapter 6, I believe, where Jesus speaks of authentic faith. He speaks to them and says, you know, your religious leaders, they love to pray and make a presence in the community. They love to fast or pretend they fast. They do this, that, and the other. They like to be seen, given to the poor and all these. It's an act. It's an act. It's not genuine. It's not real. It's not real. It's not true. It's not reality. It's a charade. It's a facade. It's a masquerade. It's just not authentic. It has no love whatsoever. It's only for the desire of their own bellies that they act this way. They're not playing the role they were set to play. They're actors, hypocrites, doing something completely different, putting on a play for the people. Oh, look at my prayers, how long they are and wordy. Oh, look at how I'm so decrepit of sorts. I've been fasting. And they paint their face and things. Like, it's an act. So if you give all your possessions to feed the poor and surrender your body to be burned, but you don't have Jesus, you don't have love, you don't have what is true, the covenant of the Christ, well, it profits nothing. It has no profit. It has no return. It's not an investment. It's a loss. It's a bankruptcy. You've been bankrupt. You see, without love, you have no patience. You're not kind. And he goes on, right, to explain these things. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Keep a grudge, right? Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Truth. Love is webbed, connected, married, united with truth, reality. You can't say, well, I love this and I love that, or as a Christian, but you're not connected to reality, the truth. The New Testament covenant, the 66 books of the Bible, living under the new covenant system of the Christ, the messianic age. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. No, that text is not saying be a complete idiot and believe and do whatever and everything. No. You have to keep things in their context. Good afternoon, Cheryl. Good to see you on the comment thread over there. I can see you. Good stuff. Got some friends with us today. And then, of course, Paul says love never fails, right? During the age of the miraculous, things were taking place, but the miraculous age is going to end. And one says, well, that's just speaking of when Jesus returns. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's a lie spoken to you by the whims of Pentecostalism and other denominational worldviews. False teaching. He's speaking about the age of the miraculous to end. And it was going to end in the first century, of course, until the perfect law of liberty had been completed, the 66 books of the Holy Bible. Yes, I can prove that in court, of course. I don't believe in anything I can't prove. So, the point of the conversation we're having in this pod vlog here, no God, no love, to do good things, to present oneself as religious, yet not have God or the love that God brings in one's heart through the submissive obedience to his word. I mean, it's just useless. It profits nothing. It's loud. It's obnoxious. It's noisy. It has no communicative skills. It does nothing.
I'm a religious person. I help a lot of the needy people in the community. That's what we do.
You do nothing. You do nothing. It profits nothing what you're doing. If you're outside of Christ, it profits absolutely nothing. If you're in Christ, but you don't have this love living in you, if it's not done with the proper heart and mind and doctrine, it's useless. That's the whole point. Jesus says there's a day coming soon where we're going to worship in spirit and truth. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means with the right kind of mind and the right doctrine. Well, where is the right doctrine? Well, it's the teaching of Jesus Christ. So you want to give to the poor? Good. Give to the poor. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, give to the poor. Are you ready to sacrifice your life? Are you going out of your way to have that happen and think yourself so religious? Well, I can see a joker anywhere. They'll spot him and be like, look at this joker. Look at this. They talk that talk, right? I'm ready to die. Yeah, right. No, but an individual who's truly standing up for the truth, who's wise, he wants the gospel to move further. He knows he's ready to depart this earth if need be, right? Well, if you want to give to the poor, if you're ready to depart this earth for the cause, if ever it comes your way, if you have the right mind and you have the right doctrine, then it's profitable for the kingdom. It's useful. It has taste. It's seasoned. It's rightly balanced. It's cooperative. It has a nice liaison. It's scripturally orchestrated in a rightly handled manner. Then it becomes productive. Now you're a productive citizen of the kingdom. But if it's all a show, and if you don't have God, God is love, and again, it profits nothing. It holds no weight. It's no spiritual weight. And of course, within that context, Paul has other descriptive language to tell them, it don't matter what you do, if you don't have love, it's just a mess. I think it's important we kind of look at that, right? Because there's so many individuals, and we can be found guilty of that as well, will return into this, well, you know, our church, we make sure to have food for the needy, and we make sure to have clothes for the needy, and we do this, and we do that. And it's like this almost robotic, mechanical checkbox mentality that no longer has the organic flow of the right mind and doctrine. It's just become vain. It's just become vain. I've seen that. I've experienced that. Congregations who are socially busy, who have a presence in the community that is denominational. Because we Christians think, well, if we do the things the way the denominations do things, then well, maybe we'll get denominations to become like we are. And then you're like, denominational, right? Because that's what you're imitating. That's what you think is the model in which you should give to the needy, or the way you should present yourself this way or that way. And it's like, no. We are called to be different, sanctified, holy, set apart. We're different. It's important to know the words. Everything is always in a rightly connected fashion with the Bible. That's it. You can find the principle in the scriptures for everything and anything. We have to do that. We have to do that. All right, my friends, that will conclude this session, this day. Pod Vlog 84, No God, No Love. If you're not doing things according to God, it don't matter. It profits nothing. It profits nothing. You want to help an old lady cross the street? Do it for the right reasons. Do it with the right heart, okay? And ultimately, what is it worth? Let's think about that. We feed the needy. We feed those who have no food. That's a good thing, isn't it? Of course. But if we only feed their physical bellies and send them filled to hell, what good have we truly done, right? What have we really done? We send them all fat and ready for hell. There's a spiritual nourishment that is of the most important thing. Some believe that the measurement of their faith in Jesus is by how many people they can help in benevolence in the community. How many poor people they can have over in their house, or how many meals they can cook for them, you know. And there's nothing there's nothing wrong with that. Helping out at the soup kitchen, giving a warm meal to a needy individual who's maybe down on his luck, there's nothing wrong with that. We have to be careful. We don't want to fester up a brood of individuals who are just taking advantage of areas that are enamored in socialism. We don't want individuals who are well and ready and able to work, but are just going to mooch and leech off good, hardworking people and church members, because 90% of the time, that's what we see. But there's a 10% there that are genuinely individuals who are down on their luck. Maybe they've made bad decisions in life, and now they just need a helping hand. I love those people. I have compassion for those people. I want to give them a helping hand, and we do, to the best of our ability. But is that the sole source and priority of a Christian's ministry? Well, do we have love? What's behind it? What's the motive, right? Always back to the heart. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Ultimately, no matter who we are in the body of Christ, the numero uno is always, how do I get this person to have a Bible study so that they can obey the gospel and grow in the church? That's it. Maybe that's a slice of pizza. Maybe that's a hot dog. Maybe that's a fellowship meal. Maybe that's a cookout. I don't know. Maybe it's just flat out publicly broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ, exposing wickedness and false teachers and false teachings, bringing them back to the peace and compassion and warm welcome of the kingdom of heaven, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. It has to have love. It has to have love. We can get bitter very quickly at the world or become very judgmental. That means you're not judging righteously anymore. You're blinded by your own pharisaical display of faith. We see them oftentimes on our ministry pages. They'll chirp in and say things that are just so ridiculous. You can tell their hearts are just, and these are Christians, members of the Lord's body, who are headed straight to hell. Straight to hell. They have no compassionate eye to see the potential or opportunity of a soul needing to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They're the Jews that hate the Gentiles. Oh, they can sell all their possessions to feed the needy. Oh, they're ready to give up their bodies for the good cause, but they have no love. They don't have any love. They don't have God in their hearts anymore. Okay, anyways, here we go again. I'm going to preach another sermon or something. This is not much more of a sermon or anything like that. It's just, it's a podcast. We talk about Bible stuff and we discuss various topics. And this one today was one that was on my mind and I had been seeing in the community, and I see with Christians online and things that are being discussed, and that verse to me stuck out. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:3, Paul knew it. He's like, hey, listen, you can do all of these things. And he's not saying they're bad things. He's not saying like this is inherently sinful if you give all your possessions to the needy. No, that might not be wise, pending on the context, case-by-case scenario. That might not be the wisest thing if you give everything you own to the poor and you can't feed your own children. That's not the smartest thing to do. That's not wise, but it doesn't mean you're going to hell for it. It might, in other cases, pending on, again, the motive and the situation and all that stuff, but yeah, I thought it was important. Let us certainly give to the needy. I mean, the Bible does teach that. Let us most certainly be ready to give our lives as a sacrifice for the cause of the kingdom, to do whatever our master wishes of us. Yeah, absolutely. But let's make sure we have the right kind of mind and the right kind of heart, obeying the right kind of doctrine while we do all these things. Because without love, we don't have God. No God, no love. No love, no God. Useless. No, not profitable. All right, my friends, I love all of you greatly, and I appreciate your prayers and the support that many of you send our way to continue working the fields here in East Coast Canada. We certainly need your continued prayer and support. There's a mountain of challenges coming our way as we try to serve our master on this soil. As the sign behind me says, stay positive and stay focused. We shall certainly meet here again next time, Lord willing, and God bless.